And I've been saying this for years. When I speak at sales conferences, one of the first things I'll say is, nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet.
I'm here today with the legendary, incredible, but also just a wholesome, fun guy, Bob Berg. Bob Berg, the go-giver.
Your authentic self. Without bringing your true self to the table, it's just not going to happen. They're buying because they see you as a solution to their problem. Technical skills important? Sure. People skills important? Do you have to know your problem? Of course, all that. But that's baseline. It is important to understand that if you cannot, no matter how good your product or service, other people probably have to sell the same basic product or service as well. And until your prospective customer or client can distinguish between any two or more products, services, or providers, it's always going to come down to who has the lowest price.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with the legendary, incredible, but also just a wholesome, fun guy, Bob Berg. Bob, what's happening?
Hey, Ben, it's so great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
So Bob Berg, the go-giver, the book's legendary. People love it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I had a great co-author, John David Mann, who was really he was the lead writer. He was the storyteller. You know, I'm much more of a how-to guy. I'm step one, step two, step three. So I'm actually rather boring when you get to know me, though I like it like that. But John's a great writer, so I really owe it to him the way the characters popped off the page.
And between the two of you, translated over 30 languages, sold over 1 million copies, but more importantly, you're helping over 1 million people with those copies you've sold, because I listened to the audiobook and it had a beautiful way of giving me core competencies in sales and networking, but teaching it through story. Tell us a little bit about the purpose of the book.
Well, so the purpose, it ties into the premise of it, and that is that shifting your focus, and I think this is really where it all begins, shifting your focus from getting to giving. Now, when we say giving in this context, we simply mean constantly and consistently providing immense value to others, understanding that doing so is not only a more fulfilling way of conducting business, it's the most financially profitable way as well. And not for some way out there, woo-woo, magical, mystical type of reasons. Not at all. It actually makes very logical, very rational sense. And that is, when you're that person who can take your focus off of yourself and place it on serving others, discovering their needs, their wants, their desires, helping them to solve their problems, moving them closer to happiness, well, people feel good about you. They feel great about you. They want to get to know you. They like you. They trust you. They want to be in relationship with you. They want to do business with you. They want to tell the world about you. But it all begins with that focus, you know, and I've been saying this for years. When I speak at sales conferences, one of the first things I'll say is, nobody's going to buy from you because you have a quota to meet, or nobody's going to buy from you because you need the money, or because you'd like the sale to happen, or even just because you're a really nice guy or gal. They're going to buy from you because they believe that ultimately they will be better off by doing so than by not doing so. Now, that's fine. That's human nature. We can't expect anybody to buy from us for any other reason. So it behooves us, and for that person who really has a natural heart for service, or can develop that heart for service, it's to your advantage. Because remember, you know, money is simply an echo of value. That's all it is. But that value must be your focal point, because that's why the other person is buying. So it begins with the focus on providing value to others. The money you receive is simply a natural result of the value you've provided.
You provide tons of value, and then as a natural result, the money does come. I like to think in terms of my mindset, and even if it doesn't come today, if we're helping people, we're making the world a better place. And You made a great point in the book. One of the storylines was a lady who understood every single closing technique. I love this part because I was a tactical guy when I got started and I wanted to know the words to say and the best way to handle an objection. And she found that having all the closing techniques isn't what actually helped her in her career. Well, in this scenario, what actually did help her in her career? It's not being able to close well, is it?
Well, so here's the thing. It's not that those skills aren't important. They are important. But without your authentic self, without bringing your true self to the table, it's just not going to happen. Because they're not buying because of the techniques. Okay? They're buying because of you. They're buying because they see you as a solution to their problem. And if they don't trust you, both in terms of competence, okay, and character, they're not going to buy from you. You know, and we're talking in terms of a high ticket or any kind of purchase. I'm not talking about a stick of gum. I'm talking about something that they need to know. They trust that person. So yeah, are technical skills important? Sure. People skills important. Do we have to know your problem? Of course, all that. But that's baseline. That's baseline. That does not distinguish you from anyone else because there's a lot of talented people out there and there are a lot of good products out there. So it's that person who can bring their full self to the table and knows how to create an experience for others. That's the person who lands that sale.
What are your thoughts on how to create that experience? And I know that we're all individuals, so it's not one size fits all, but are there any general principles to ensure we're being go-givers, adding value, and creating a personalized experience?
Well, it is important to understand that if you cannot, no matter how good your product or service, other people probably sell the same basic product or service as well. Okay. I don't mean just computers, but I mean, all of technology is pretty much leveled the playing field. Most products and services work and they work pretty well. Okay. Again, they have to just to be in the game. So you may, yours may be the best. You may be the best at doing it, but unless your prospective customer or client knows this, they don't know it. And until your prospective customer or client can distinguish between any two or more products, services, or providers, it's always going to come down to who has the lowest price. And unless your last name is Walmart, right, or Amazon.com, trying to make low price your unique selling proposition is not a productive way to do business.
Race to the bottom.
It's not profitable. It's not fulfilling, and it's certainly not sustainable. When you sell on low price, you're a commodity. When you sell on high value, you're a resource. So the question is, how do you distinguish yourself? Because they're buying you before they're buying your product or service, before they're buying your company, they're buying you. So how do you distinguish yourself? Well, the short answer is you are that additional value. You need to be that additional value. So how do you do that? Well, the good news is there are dozens, if not hundreds of ways to communicate that additional value, but they tend to come down to five, what John and I call elements of value. Now, these are not the five laws of success from the story, compensation, influence, authenticity, and receptivity. These five elements of value are within the law of value. Law number one, these five elements of value are excellence, consistency, attention, empathy, and appreciation. And to the degree that you're able to communicate one or more, hopefully all five of those, at every single touch point, forgive me, please, at every single touch point when you first meet that person, whether it's inbound, outbound, whether you've met this person at an event somewhere, through the relationship building process, the follow-through process, the sales process, the referral process, to the degree that you can communicate those five elements of value, that is the degree that you take your competitors and price out of the picture. And all of those five elements of value have to do with how you make that person feel about themselves at every single one of those touch points. That's the difference maker.
The feeling you give them.
Mm-hmm.
And your ability to add massive value and not be a commodity product.
Yeah, because you know what your product or service does is the intrinsic value. It's what it does by the very nature of its design. Okay, it's that extra though. Remember, everybody has that same basic intrinsic value. It's that extrinsic value, that customer experience, that's the difference maker, and people will pay more for that.
The customer experience. You breeze through the five laws. We won't tackle each of them right now because I encourage people to read the book. Again, I bought the audio book, listened to it on a car ride, and the storyline was fascinating. I was hooked.
Thank you.
The one that seems like a sticking point for a lot of people, including myself, and I know the people listening to this podcast, they are value-driven people. They love networking. They love making introductions. But it's the receptivity. It's the give, 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 give. Gary Vee has a book, Jab, 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 Right Hook. I like to joke to people that I'm jab, 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 go take a walk. And then when they start to bleed and they need someone to, you know, fill the blood, maybe I can come and help them out there. But I like to give so much and then I don't have many asks. Is that a struggle with that last law of receptivity?
Well, it's a struggle with a lot of people. It was a struggle with me years ago. It was something I had to get past. And it's something that, you know, we enjoy helping other people deal with effectively. Law number five says the key to effective giving is to stay open to receiving. Now, what does that really mean? It means that you understand that, yeah, you need to breathe out, which is giving. You need to breathe out. You also need to breathe in, which is receiving. It's not one or the other. You can't just breathe out. Remember that part of the story where Pindar at the end asked his protege, Joe, to breathe out all the way till his breath was totally, and then continue to breathe out for 30 seconds. Well, Joe couldn't do it. Nobody could. Okay. You'd run out of air. It's not, you can't sustain life, never mind thrive that way. So we've got to be able to breathe in and receive as well. Giving and receiving are not opposite concepts. Giving and receiving are simply two sides of the very same coin, and they work in tandem. The problem is that's not the message we get from the world around us. The world around us gives us constant anti-prosperity messages. You'd think that anybody who made it successfully in business did it on the backs of others or through nefarious means or through this or through that. That's a big world. There's people who do all sorts of things we don't agree with. But by and large, especially to the degree that you operate in a free market-based economy, when I say free market, I simply mean no one's forced to do business with anyone else. To that degree that you live in that type of economy, the only way you can become very wealthy is by providing a lot of value to a lot of people, because again, no one's forced to do business with you. They're not doing it for your sake. They're doing it for theirs, right? So what we need to be able to do is understand that so long as we provide immense value to the lives of lots of people, placing their interests first, because again, that's why they're buying, being authentic, staying authentic to our core, then we have created that benevolent context for success for us to receive. We've got to be able to allow ourselves to receive. Okay. But again, what gets in the way is those horrible messages we get from the time where, you know, whether it's upbringing, environment, schooling, news media, television shows, movies, the internet, those anti-prosperity messages, those messages of lack, they get lodged in our conscious, but then work their way down to our unconscious. That's the most insidious thing of all. We don't even realize it. And that, and all the ways that we're sabotaging our own success or pushing away success or, you know, not asking because we feel, oh, there must be something bad about that. Well, again, it's not anybody's fault. It's the messages that we've received. So here's the thing. We need to understand this, right? Because it's only when we understand an issue that we're in a position to be able to do something to work through it and overcome it. So, you know, the fact that you realize that you can jab all day, but that the receiving is difficult, I say congratulations to you, because it means you're in a position to do something about it. And while John and I talk about that in the book, and we cover it on a surface level, there are lots of people out there who this is their what they specialize in. So people like Randy Gage, people like David Nagel, the late Bob Proctor, people like Sharon Lecter and Ellen Rogan out of Chicago, people like Ken Honda. These people, they write, they speak, they blog, they post, they do videos. And to me, it is absolutely vital to tap into those resources, because all the anti-prosperity nonsense comes at us all the time. You know, when you hear things like millionaires or billionaires shouldn't exist. I mean, that is an absolute, not only just a horrible thing to say, it's totally counterproductive. But you have to understand some basic economics to understand why. And you've also got to understand that that is driven by emotion, and it's driven by lack thinking. And so, you know, you need to question your premises and start asking questions. Well, why is that true? Why should billionaires not exist? Why should, you know, and so, but so that's why I really suggest people dive into prosperity and learn and, you know, tap into some of those resources and what these people teach, 99.9% of it is simply getting past those mental blocks.
The mental blocks.
Yeah. The mental blocks that keep us from attaining the prosperity that really is rightfully ours.
And I know personally, I was taught from day one to be modest and to be humble. And this will be a little bit of fun. It'll take me 2 seconds. I can Google humble right now, the definition of humble. We're going to have a little fun today, bub. Having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance. A low social, administrative, or political rank. Now, this is just a Google definition, but low importance, do people, they hear be humble and then they don't realize that.
That's a terrible definition.
Let's redefine it. What are your thoughts?
Well, it's a terrible definition. Humble is just having an understanding of your strengths and weaknesses and being grateful for what you have. It has nothing to do with being weak. In fact, being humble is strong. It's strength. It's having self-knowledge, but it's knowing that you have greatness within you, but it's also knowing that this was attained first through God or nature, however you want to say it, through the genes of your parents or through people who took time to work with you or your ability to work hard or whatever. So there's nothing about being humble that is low or weak. I see humble as strength.
I agree traditionally too, and I think when compared to the whole, compared to God and the world around us, I am a lowly important to some things. But the reason I bring that up, though, is humility isn't a bad thing. I agree with you, but if we don't feel deserving, if we're too modest, we're not going to accomplish what we actually do deserve to accomplish, right?
Well, I think seeing humility as being afraid to promote yourself, I think that's a treacherous dichotomy or a false dilemma. It's the unnecessary use of the word or. It's again sticking with humble as something weak and lowly. Okay. Again, I see humble as being strength and, being strong. It's self-knowledge. And if you have self-knowledge, you also understand the parts of you that are very value-based and bring a lot to the world. And you can promote that and you can communicate that. Now, that doesn't mean you communicate it by saying, hey, look at me, I'm great. It means you do so through the natural, actions that you would take. But there's nothing wrong with publicizing yourself and positioning yourself and doing all those things. So again, the premise that I respectfully reject is that to be humble means to be weak and not take the steps to do those things to help position you in business.
And I completely respectfully love that we took it here, because I just pulled up a dictionary definition because I had heard it before, and I appreciate your feedback. And if we can take it into a completely weird direction for another thing that I could totally use your feedback on is, and it's just something of interest for me, Bob. And by the time this comes out, this is a few months ago, but to give the bare bones, Alex Hormozi launched his new book, $100 Million Leads. And he did this big live event, you know, hundreds of thousands, half a million people attending this live event on Zoom and on YouTube. And what he did promoting the event is very similar to the Russell Brunson ClickFunnels presentation, where you give all the value points, you know, this valued at $1,000, this $1,000, this $1,000, going to give you an audio book. We're going to give you a hard copy book. We're going to give you the personal training. We're going to give you all my napkin information. And he did this on purpose to kind of make people feel nauseous. Like, what's this going to cost? What are you selling us? Is this a course? Do I need my credit card? And he went through this long promo value ladder. And he said, for a simple price of free. And what he did is he took what so many marketers sell as a $2,000 program, as a $97 program, and just gave it all away for free completely. And then on the tail end, he said, and by the way, I'd love it if you'd buy a book. And he sold 500,000 copies of his book pre-sale in that moment. What are your thoughts on this? Because it's different than most marketers, $10,000 value, but today only $1,000. He said $50,000 value, but today always completely free. Is this the go-giver mentality? Well, what are your thoughts on all this?
So a lot of people believe that the go-giver is about giving stuff away for free. Okay. And it's not. Okay. So let me get back to Alex in just a moment and cool. What he did. So the go-giver simply means that you understand it's that your focus is on bringing immense value to others. So if you're an accountant and you charge $1,000 to do someone's taxes and you save them $5,000 in taxes and you save them countless hours of time, and you provide that person and their family with the peace of mind of knowing it was done correctly, you've given them significantly more in value than what you took in payment. So they come away wonderfully off, just wonderfully better off. And you also make a very healthy profit. You know, in any, again, free market-based exchange, there should always be two profits, the buyer profits and the seller profits, because each of them come away better off afterwards than they were beforehand. Okay, that's what being a go-giver means. And by providing a lot of value to a lot of people, okay, you create that context for your own financial and other success. Okay, now let's go back to what Alex did. What Alex did was he used a strategy. It was not necessarily a go-giver strategy, but it wasn't not a go-giver strategy. I mean, he gives away a ton of value. I read his first book, $100 million offer. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember how much I paid for it, $20-$25 or whatever, and got tens of thousands of dollars, maybe more eventually, worth of value from it. That's wonderful. Okay. I did not, at the time of that we were doing this discussion, I haven't bought his second book, but I plan to do that as well. And I'm already working with one of my direct marketers that she has already gotten both books as well. And we're going to go through it and do a campaign using his information. Mm-hmm. I love what he wrote. As far as this thing about, you know, giving away $50,000, he's doing that very strategically. He has a reason for that. He is going to amass huge value from doing that himself. Okay. But he found a way based on his reputation, based on his expertise, based on his business model, to do something that may or may not be duplicatable by someone else who doesn't have his knowledge or reputation. Okay. And he did what was good for everybody. So yeah, in that way, it's a go-giver thing. Everybody wins. But what I'm trying to say is giving away $50,000 for free, if that's what it was, is not being a go-giver. Being a go-giver is simply understanding that by focusing on providing immense value to others, you're creating much value for yourself as well.
Thank you for that analysis, because it goes into the receptivity that he gave it away for free so you'd buy a book. So it's the value. He gave you all this value, buy a book. But he has a strategy, a personal brand.
Remember that book.
He's acquiring.
Of course.
He's acquiring companies. But
and again, there's nothing wrong with that. There's, in fact, it's fantastic. It's perfect for what he's looking to do. And everyone's going to come away better off as a result.
But
so that's fantastic. So in no way am I dissing it. I'm just saying that giving away something for free is not in and of itself being a go-giver. It's, you know, it's a whole lot more than that.
Yes, and I agree. Like, if Ben Albert with my small firm were to give away all the, I wouldn't have a business. So the answer isn't just give away your stuff for free. That's
well,
not
eventually
the answer.
You'll get to that point if that's what you plant choose to do, and that then you do it. But so again, it's a strategy that you know that you do based on do you believe it's going to benefit everyone involved, and that's you know, and that's a great thing.
Well, Bob, we agree this would be a quick hit, pure value. I want to close out with an integration assignment because this was a quick hit and we covered a few different concepts here. For the listener, if they were to just make one change today, you know, take this and serve homework, give us homework to apply today. It's straight from the book, right? We have to apply it today.
That's important.
That a big part of the book was apply
we
today,
say,
come
we
back
say,
tomorrow.
Well, we say be a go-getter, a person of action, and a go-giver, a person who's absolutely laser-focused on providing immense value to others. Be a go-getter and a go-giver. Just don't be a go-taker.
Taker.
Right.
So we're go-getters, and we're about to go and give. Give us an action step to close this out today.
Well, I mean, I think what it is, I can actually best summarize it through something that was told to me years and probably, it was close to 40 years ago. I had just been in sales for a couple of years and I was in a sales slump and I was focused too much on getting out of the slump, meaning I was focused on me, not on my customers. And I remember a wise old mentor who I call him a drive-by mentor because I didn't really know the guy that well. And I don't think I knew him after that either. It was just one of those times where he had great advice when I was ready to accept it and receive it. And he said, Berg, if you want to make a lot of money in sales, he said, don't have making money your target. Your target is serving others. Now, when you hit the target, he said, you'll get a reward. And that reward will come in the form of money. And you can do with that money whatever you choose. But never forget, the money is simply the reward for hitting the target. It isn't the target itself. Your target is serving others. And what that said to me, Ben, is that great salesmanship is never about the salesperson. Great salesmanship is never about the product or service, as important as those are. Great salesmanship is about the other person. It's about that person whose life you're trying to add value to. Or we could even say, it's about that person whose life is better just because you are part of it. And I think that when we come at sales and entrepreneurship from that foundational premise, we're really 9 steps ahead of the game in a 10-step game.
Bob, love the book. Love your insight. I love your podcast, the Go-Giver podcast as well. How I'm already supporting you, but I'm going to continue. How can the listener join your world and support you the best they can?
Well, first they can go to berg.com. And if they would like, they'll see a pop-up where they can subscribe to my daily insight, email. I send them out Monday through Friday. They're called daily impact. And, if they would like to subscribe to that, they'll get a little jolt from me every day. And I hope they enjoy it and find it to be of value.
BURG.com. It's in the show notes, Berg.com. And you're all about value and giving. So it's not spam. It's actually a tip that you're going to gain value from on a daily basis. And I appreciate that. With all the spammers out there, you're one of the good ones, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks again for taking the time.
My pleasure.